Sustaining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hello, Rita. You there?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I've got the tail ends of a cold. So
was it just a classic cold?
Throughout this.
Have you had COVID in your house?
No. I'm kind of happy about. And, you know, we've been surrounded by it. And my son's had it through his classroom most of the times. And we still managed to have avoided it.
Do you think that you have already had, the household has kind of had it, and maybe
no, I don't think so.
Time?
We've been super healthy up until last week, and then I just got a bit of a cold, and I tested three times, and no, nothing, and no one else seems to have got it. I think I don't know. And then I got over it pretty. I mean, you know, I'm bar a bit of a cough that's hung around. It hasn't been too bad, but yeah, I mean, this winter's going to be brutal. I think so. Getting sick. Have you had it?
My theory is that I had it in 2020, just before the first round of COVID happened. Because
but you'd get it again if that was the case.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I had the original one. I think I had the one that was that made you the sickest and the most gruntiest. I was very sick. I had the sorest throat I've ever had in my life, and the most hacking cough I've ever had in my life. In early 2020, and I've not had it since, so I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I work with a guy who's on his third round of COVID.
COVID number three, wow.
Yeah, number three, yeah, from September last year he got Delta, and then twice since then.
Okay.
So, good times. Yeah, he's just collecting them all is what he did. So, anyway, little bit of a bad segue. Today, we're just going to talk a little bit about Auckland's credentials.
Wait. Okay, Rita, stand in a spot in your house with good reception.
Oh.
You just sort of
broke up
then.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, you sound good now. Start again. What did you say? We're going to talk about Auckland and its...
sustainability credentials.
Okay, where is this information coming from?
So, they've just released, it was about a month ago, a Global Healthy Sustainability City Study, which was published in the Lancet Global Health Journal. Lancet's up there in terms of reputational journals. And this is actually 30 universities working together to try and assess this kind of on three broad areas: policy setting, so that's things like, is sustainability adequately weaved into their policy and regulation? So things like these are hard policy settings too. So things like land use taxation, as opposed to the fluffy things like, you know, we want a more sustainable future, which doesn't really mean anything. So. Urban design and transport and connectivity. So there's also, like, within that, there's things like access to health-supporting nature. So there is some sort of other metrics, but those are the three broad areas. And there's 25 cities that are now that are now kind of analysed, and we are one of them. And they're kind of a mix of cities, so they've broadly categorised them into three areas, so your lower income, middle income, and then high income cities, and we're in the high income city.
Are we in a high income city? Okay.
Yeah, so alongside like Melbourne and Seattle and Sydney, Phoenix, Baltimore, versus somewhere like Mexico City, which is in Sao Paulo, which is kind of middle income cities. And then you've got cities that are low below, like in Nigeria. I forgot the name of the city. I haven't written it down. But those sorts of cities that are in developing world.
So we're talking. Obviously, we're, as mentioned, we've been chucked in the category of a high income city. Are we sustainable as Auckland stands?
No, we failed pretty miserably, actually. It's kind of embarrassing. So we've come out below average across the board, but we've actually come in at the fourth worst city in the high-income cities. So So there were 19 cities in the high income category, and we managed to come fourth to last.
What things are we failing on as far as city being a city goes?
Yeah, look, going through this list, I was like, like none of this stuff will surprise listeners. It's things like public transport. Like, we just failed so miserably. Transport and planning, and having the transport and the planning in one department, like urban planning and transport, should be more integrated, and it's not. So, and then we see the fallout of that, right? So one of the things they said was, you know, 56% of Aucklanders only 56% of Aucklanders have access to a bus stop that is walkable and regular.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, what's interesting about this as well is that, now that I'm thinking about it, is when I lived in a place where I took a bus, I felt like the bus went the wrong direction for 30 minutes before it went the direction I wanted it to go in. So, and I didn't actually, I was just remembering, I didn't read that in the study, like how good is the service, but they looked at how close the bus stops were to density, like living areas, and also the end drop-off points, because that was also pulled out, that the distribution of employment and destination accessibility was really low in New Zealand, in Auckland, sorry. So that's about, like, you know, really planning your place of employment and doing, overseas, I know that they do tax credits and stuff for companies that, you know, will put their headquarters on main public transport routes and that kind of thing. And we don't really have any of those sorts of tax benefits for any of the for anyone. So only 1/5 of our neighbourhoods meet the density and street connectivity thresholds. I didn't find what they were in the study. I need to dive a bit deeper into the data. We had good access to public open spaces, so that's not surprising. They're saying within 500 metres, the majority of us can access public open spaces, but that drops down to only 2/3 when we're talking about large parks, which, again, no surprise to anyone, because we don't have a lot of large parks.
I reckon we do. I think we've got a lot of large parks.
Yeah, I think it would depend on what you would class as a large park, which they have defined. But if you think about it, like, you know, like once you get into the suburbs, there's not a lot of large parks around. They're all quite small.
I mean, what does Auckland need to do to improve on this international scale of being a sustainable city? What do we need to do? What are our key things that we need to focus on? What do we need to change?
I think this is why I really liked this study, because basically what it allows for us to do is to, these sorts of studies are great because they allow us to kind of know the extent of the problem and put some measurements around them and some goals and benchmark ourselves against ourselves, but also look to other cities that are doing this really well for solutions. So, you know, even though they can kind of look pretty bad, like we came fourth to last, we will 100% be able to do better than that next time, surely, if we just put in place some of these measures. But yeah, they've talked about things like, you know, putting transport and urban planning into one department, and if you can't do that, actually having them just better integrated. A national policy on urban density and urban design. So we're putting in place one at the moment for urban density. So that's that new overlay that says if you're within 10 minutes of a train station or a bus way, public transport way, that, that you can build up to 3 stories or 3 houses on your section or whatever. So we're putting in place a national policy on urban density. But there's one, they're saying we should do one on urban design as well, which I completely agree with, because if you look across the city, there's some pretty ugly, not just ugly houses, but kind of badly designed places too. And I think, you know, not just for sustainability purposes, but for building a good city, it's a good idea. Health-focused actions for urban design. So this is about really making places walkable and bikeable, and because that also improves health measures. So even though we have goals for getting people out biking and stuff, it's kind of to help free up our car kind of issue versus and our reliance on fossil fuels versus the health benefits, and that's something we should be focused on. air pollution policies related to our transport. We fell down really badly on our air pollution around transport. Jobs to housing ratios. So this is really looking at like the development of suburbs that have lots of houses but maybe not enough work, so that they, you know, these people are, you know, going from one side of the city to another.
Do you feel perhaps Auckland's unsalvageable and we should start focusing on the planning of places like Pokeno to really, they should be our...
Well, I mean, it's a difficult one because Pokeno is really a city. It's just a satellite suburb, really. I don't think it's unsalvageable. I just think that we probably just need to take a longer view of it. You know, we just seem to be only catching up with the problem when they're problems, and by that time it's way too late. So it's sort of like we need to be going, okay, what does this look like? They do 10-year budgets, but we almost need to be going, like, what does this look like in 50 years, you know? Which I think we kind of fall down on because we've got these 3-year election cycles, so it's really hard for anyone to take that longer view. I mean, there's some really good recommendations from this. You know, they're not trying to solve the world's problems. They are just trying to, you know, look at us and find some easy wins for us to improve our city from a sustainability point of view. So it's a great little study, and hope we can do better than fourth worst next time.
What's your one takeaway? If you're going to say something to the people of Auckland, what should they do? What do they need to do, Rita? One thing.
Vote for someone that's got good policies instead of just, you know, I don't know, you like the look of their name or whatever. Like, really just have a look at what vision they have for the city, and because at this point that's what we need, is people that have got, you know, vision and willing to try something that's going to fix this problem.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, and we've got an election coming up, so it's a great time to
We certainly
look
do.
At
Maybe we could take a look at some of the candidates.
Yeah, I mean, especially because the mayoral candidate in particular is a tricky one this time around. Like, there's no clear front runners,
yeah.
I don't think.
This is a bit of a lolly scramble. I don't think anyone knows anything about anyone aside from the fact that one of them owns a bar downtown and likes to, like, kick up a fuss every once in a while.
Yeah, it feels like a whole lot of, like, potential protest voting. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people that are like, you know what, I've got to be better than that guy. Yeah. I'm going to throw my name into the ring, and not a lot of...
Rita, it's time for you to run. It's time for you to run, Rita.
Oh, my God, I couldn't think of anything worse. Oh, what a horrible job. No, I just rather, you know, hassle them from the outside.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we'll check in with you next week, mate.
Sounds good.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.